Wonder how many folks remember polishing chrome. Good morning to you, Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive, back once again to answer any kind of a car care question our listeners may have. Nick, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, and yourself, Denny?
I'm doing well, too. Yeah, it's getting some rain, green things up even a little bit more. Did you have a good week? Busy with all the bays, I'm sure, there.
We were very busy, yes. The bays were full. The schedule is filling up, so I'm sure most places around town are in the same situation. So if you're looking for a little maintenance, a little repair on your vehicle, I would suggest you call your dealership, your shop soon, get in their schedule, because before we realize, they'll be a week or two behind, and that gets complicated as we move into the summer
season. That time of year. A lot of folks planning road trips, things like that, maybe visiting colleges with the kids or grandkids. And, yeah, in fact, I got to give Lloyd's a call, too. I got to get another oil change. It comes up. It seems to come up rather quickly. But in the meantime, if you have any kind of a car care question, maybe you just want to ask a mechanic a question that you've always wanted to ask, by all means, you can send a text or you can call Nick. Either way, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, we always like to say, please do it sooner rather than later. Our time seems to fly by. Nick will be with us till about 7:45 when Ted Farrell from Haskell's steps in. So by all means, you don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead either. I mean, if you drive a car and you're having problems and you need to bring it in for service, but you might want to know what could be ailing in the meantime, yeah, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Texter, this was earlier this morning, and generally they were asking, and I'd like to find out about this too. Ask Nick, please, if you could tell what problems you could see if a transmission fluid is old or needs changing. What kind of are there any telltale signs that you may need some transmission help?
Well, if you're noticing any kind of drivability concern, any kind of hesitation or slipping or a firm engagement, something different. You know, we talk about that often. If you notice something that's changed and different than it used to be, that's when we need to raise our hand and ask for some help. I would say under regular maintenance, if the fluid's becoming discolored, dirty, it's starting to get a little bit of a tingy smell to it, it's telling us that it's been used up, it's had its life cycle, it's time to replace a fresh, clean fluid.
How do you check that, though, these days?
Well, that's a good question. Depending on the vehicle, some still have a dipstick. Some have a fill plug. You know, there's a variety of ways that it's done. And in some cases, we just have to go by the interval, the mileage interval or the time interval, and say, okay, it's been X amount of time, X amount of miles. This fluid service is due. You know, we do a pretty good job of keeping on top of our engine oil changes, you know, because they're frequent. It's regular routine. But the transmission fluid, brake fluid, power steering fluid, some of these other fluid services kind of get forgotten from time to time. And that's kind of our job as the professionals to remind you or recommend to you, based on this time frame or interval, you're due for these other services.
Yeah, now you got me thinking. I've got to look in the manual, and I'm not sure. Maybe I could look online as far as maintenance schedule. But my particular vehicle that Lloyd's has worked on for a long time is just a touch over 95,000 miles. But I know it's never been, you know, the transmission fluid has never been changed. Might it be a good idea to do that now? Or give or take, when do vehicles, this is 10, 11 years old now, when do vehicles usually with that age need fluid maybe just changing?
Well, it seems pretty typical, usually in that 100,000-mile interval range. Maybe it's 90, maybe it's 105, up to 120, depends on the make and model. But there's a fairly involved, robust inspection and services. It might be spark plugs, it might be fluid services, but usually around that time frame of a vehicle, there tends to be a larger service inspection and services that are recommended. So if you're in that window, next time you're in for regular service, hey, mention, you know, when's my next maintenance interval or service due? They can look in the online or look at the technical information, find that inspection for you, share that with you, kind of discuss what it involved, look at those items and make recommendations.
Now, you guys at Lloyd's, you keep when customers come in and they have their work done, whatever the work is, you always keep records of that, don't you? So if somebody said, say, Lloyd's, I don't remember when you put in a new battery or last time, you can tell them that, can't you?
Absolutely, you know, for warranty purposes, obviously, but also for the recommendations. You know, we I feel that our guys do a really good job inspecting vehicles. So you come in for service, we may have some recommendations that are deferred, meaning that, you know, you don't need your tires or brakes quite yet, but we should really look at it in this time frame. So this will kind of prepare you and prep you for future things that might be needed. And we'll store that information also. So next time you're in for service, we'll say, hey, last time you were in or two times ago, we said that we should be readdressing these issues. Let's take a look at those again today and let you know where we stand.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And again, budget always enters the picture, but being proactive will certainly save headaches and money in the long run. Yeah, call us or text us this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Texter asked this. They're talking about transmissions. Do you recommend changing the filter when doing the transmission fluid change? And I get a minimum and a maximum reading on the dipstick depending which way I put it in. Which reading is correct?
To answer the first question, you know, you go back far enough ago, we used to take the pan down, replace the filter, put the pan back in, and refill the fluid. And then it evolved into like a flushing system where you took another pump up and you'd circulate all the fluid through. I would say the most common service these days when vehicles on the road now would be a drain infill. So essentially pulling the lower drain plug out, you recoup all the fluid, and then you refill it with the appropriate mount. There are still filters in a lot of transmissions that might be due at a certain interval, but I would say the most common practice would be a drain infill. As far as the dipstick goes, read the manual.
Oh, we lost you.
Sorry about
are
that.
You still? There you are.
There you are.
My AirPods are acting up there.
Uh-huh.
You check the dipstick. It might say it needs to be warm engine. Obviously, you want a flat surface. But read the manual, figure out the proper way of checking it. Make sure you clean the dipstick fully so when you put it back in, you're not getting any residual fluid on that dipstick.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Texter says this, ask this, does a modern CVT, the transmission, use fluid only or are there belts as well?
That would be a fluid service only. If there is a failure, there's belts and other components in that required for repair. But as far as the maintenance schedule, it's just going to be the fluid change.
All right. Here's something we haven't talked about, maybe haven't done as far as a mechanic. Texter says, I have an old car that needs the wheel bearings packed. Does Lloyd still do that?
My AirPods are really acting up on us. I didn't catch that one, Denny.
Oh, okay. A little technical difficulties with Nick, but he's straightening that out. We're going to get a phone call here for Nick coming up in just a moment. Just make sure he's okay and connected again. There he is.
All right. Back on the phone. This regular phone. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
That's fine.
We got a little bit of an echo. I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, which we need to do anyway. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Reed from North Branch on the phone when we return. If you have any kind of a car care question, love to hear from you. 651-461-9226 from Newstalk A3O. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CISO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Which, Nick, is located where, and how do we get in touch with you guys if we need your help?
Yes, Danny, as you know, we're in St. Paul on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. Stop and say hi. If you have questions or need advice, we will always answer that for you. You can call us at 651-228-1316. You can find all that information and more at lloydsautomotive.net.
And we'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, call us. Text us, 651-461-9226. In a moment, I want to grab a phone call from Clem and Red Wing, but I wanted to go back to, because we missed the answer on the wheel bearings. Does Lloyd's still repack wheel bearings?
We do. There's not very many vehicles out there with them. You know, most wheel bearings are now sealed and they're an assembly that, to be honest, runs pretty much the life of the vehicle short of any kind of incident with a pothole or a curb. So they've evolved like with a lot of the vehicles, but you can still pack wheel bearings, redo the seals and preload them and, you know, get that older vehicle or trailer back on the road.
All right, very good. All right, let's grab a phone call this morning. Clem has been waiting there in Red Wing, and I appreciate that. Clem, well, what is your question for Nick?
And good morning, fellas. I've got a 2017 Ford Fusion V6 with 120,000 miles. A half a year ago, the turbo went out, so that was a very expensive fix, and now it's developed a loud knock. It sounds like it's more on the top of the motor than it would be a connecting rod, but I'm not sure about that. So the car is disabled, and my question is, should I spend more money tearing into that existing motor, or should I try to find one in a yard? Went to one shop that said they do not work on turbos, and I've not ventured out any further. I thought I'd call you this morning, and I'll hang up and listen, and thank you for your fine show.
Thank you, Clem. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and sorry for your unfortunate situation there. I think I would do a little more investigating on the engine in the vehicle, determine what that knock is. You know, the turbo was replaced. It'd be interesting to know why. I suspect that there's some oil flow issues, maybe some buildup or some restriction somewhere, which could also lead to this noise that we're having now. So I would probably have the shop, you know, open it up enough to get a closer look so that way you have two answers. Maybe it's, you know, something in the valve train that's replaceable and not horribly expensive. And when you go buy a used engine, you never know what you're buying. So that's always a risk in that path also. So I would say start with what you have. Let's figure out exactly what's going on. That way you can make a better informed decision.
All right. Thank you, Clem. Appreciate listening. Looking at a text for you, Nick. 2015 Nissan. Texter says, when idling and warm, the fan seems to come on but revs up fairly loudly. Now, is that something I should be concerned about, they ask? Vehicle runs fine otherwise.
Well, a lot of fans have variable speed. So if it sees the heat or sees an issue where it needs a little more airflow, it's going to increase that speed. So I don't, unless you notice it doing that all the time, I probably wouldn't be too worried. As it warms up or gets humid, we turn on our air conditioning. A lot of times those fans will cycle, or they will cycle for that. So you might have a little more additional noise with it. But if you're noticing this is different than it used to be, it seems to be louder way more often, that's a warning sign to have somebody take a look to see what's going on.
All right. Texter from a snowbird this morning, Nick. He or she says, I still change the oil every 3,000 miles, but that may take 3 years to reach. Should I just do it on a yearly basis instead of mileage? We get this quite often, I know, and I think I know what you're going to ask. For the drivers that don't drive that much, what is your usual recommendation for an oil change?
Well, you know, it depends on the vehicle, obviously, but annually at a minimum, you know, it's not just driving the vehicle, but the heating and the cooling, the freezing, the thawing, that oil will absorb moisture, which is water, which can create some sludge. So I understand that you haven't used up the lubricating aspects of the oil, but it has collected other stuff in it just from the freeze-thaw cycle. So on an annual basis at a minimum, might even be twice a year. It really depends on the vehicle and the situation.
And you mentioned this in past shows too, Nick, that if you don't drive that much and you're bringing it for service once a year or twice a year, that's kind of a good deal because other things can happen during those months that you don't drive, right?
Absolutely. You know, the exhaust, the brakes, there's a lot of other systems and components of the vehicle that need to be inspected. So even if we're not changing the oil, to have the vehicle looked at, you know, spring, fall, I think is a really good practice.
Yeah. All right. Here's the number for a text or a phone call, if you like, 651-461-9226. Good morning, texter says, I have a 2011 RX350 Lexus, and I want to bleed the brakes. Is it the same way as older brake systems where you clean the reservoir, put in fresh fluid, pump, pump, pump the brakes, and then open up the bleeder valve and start from the furthest bleeder valve and work toward the master cylinder? There's a technique.
That is absolutely the procedure that they taught us in school. I would say on any newer vehicle, do a little bit of research. You know, some of the ABS, traction control systems, there's a little bit different variation in the procedure. So look your vehicle up or find the manual for your vehicle specifically. Make sure that that procedure stays the same. I believe it is, but you need to do your due diligence And I commend you for doing your own work. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that. Speaking of schools, we talk about this occasionally, that we have some great tech schools in this this area of ours that we lovingly call CCO land. And the good schools, the quality is there. And it's still a mighty fine job for folks that have that kind of an interest, like to work with their hands, to being an auto technician really is a good gig, isn't it?
I think so. It's what we do every day. Well, and it's changed too. You know, when I started, years ago, it was a lot smellier, a lot dirtier, a lot more, busted up knuckles. And, with all the computerization, electronics and vehicles, you need to be very mechanically inclined, but also electrically. You need to understand how electronics work and computers work. So it's evolving. It's fascinating. It's exciting. So if somebody out there is listening or has a loved one that's, kind of interested in it, go tour one of the tech schools. Take the day, take the visit, see what they have to offer, see if it's a good fit for you. And, hopefully it is, and maybe we'll see you down the road.
Yeah, and you can make some pretty good money doing that, can't you?
You absolutely can. We always like to joke about, and there's many paths for folks in life, but you can get out of high school within 2 years, you can be making a very livable wage, saving for your future, for a home, where some of the traditional paths, you take on a lot of debt and a lot of other things that go with that. So I think it's a great path for the right person. And hopefully more and more people look at it as an alternative versus the historically traditional 4-year pathway.
A lot of vehicles out there that need service, for sure, and that's going to continue even more so. All right, Nick, hang on. I'm being alerted here. We have to look at, not that we have to, we want to look at that CCO forecast. We're going to do that and be back on the other side. Car care questions, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, of course, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. Now, we still have time for yours. Nick will take his leave in about 8 minutes or so. So we'd love to hear from you. Here is another text, a 2016 Audi A4, put 3,500 miles annually. I only take it in once a year, the fall, for service. Do you think that's okay? I guess minimally, you would probably say yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When it's in, they can look at the fluids, look at the oil, give it a good once over. You're well within the wear period of that oil. It's just, our concern is always, if it's been 6 months and you, at some point in time, you clipped a curb or a pothole or something's become worn or loose, we'd like to get our eyes on that so we can keep an eye on it. We don't want to have a situation where you have something become worn or loose and it's been a whole year since it's been looked at. You don't want to run the risk of having any kind of problem where you're stranded. So the reason we say, twice a year is a good idea is just to get our eyes on that vehicle, make sure everything's working as it should and wearing as it should.
Yeah, absolutely. Texter asked this. It's a 2015 Ford Taurus. How to replace a mass airflow sensor? Somebody else wants to try it themselves.
Yeah, which we love. I'm going to say get online, read up on it, find the manual if possible. But a mass airflow sensor is typically on part of the air intake. So you find the air filter. There's a tube that goes from the air filter to the engine. Midway through that tube, there'll be a little box with a connector. That's likely that sensor. My advice also is I would try to, especially certain components, electronics, figure out the manufacturer. If you look at it, it's going to tell you whoever made it, or go buy the one from Ford themselves, because we'd like to stick with the original equipment or the original manufacturer of the component. Therefore, we know it's going to work as it's designed once you replace it.
Somebody's questioning whether they really need my timing belt and water pump replaced at 100,000 miles. Evidently, that's what the maintenance schedule, I would assume, what they're reading. What do you think about that? I assume you're going to say follow what the maintenance the manufacturer recommends, right?
I am, but the reason for the interval is because they've determined that's the length of the life of the vehicle or the component where they're confident it's not going to fail. If a timing belt were to fail and it's an interference engine, which means that upon that belt coming apart or coming off, the valves and the pistons can collide, which creates permanent damage to the engine, which is repairable but extremely costly. So I understand that this service might be hundreds of dollars or even $1,000, But to repair the cylinder head piston or the valves and the piston type repair, that's thousands and thousands of dollars. So I would say yes, follow the interval. Some vehicles you can get a look at it. Some it's not as easy. That's part of the reason why they create these schedules, so we have something, the guideline to follow. So I would absolutely follow what they recommend.
Trying to think, when I was looking up timing belts and timing chains, did I read correctly that some vehicles they don't even recommend for the life of the vehicle to change it? Could that be? Was I reading that correctly? Could that be true
not
for
a,
some vehicles?
Not a belt. I mean, timing chain, yes, it should. You know, if it's properly maintained, you cross your fingers, you don't have any additional issues. But a timing chain properly maintained with, you know, oil changes should last the life of the vehicle. But a timing belt is going to wear, it's going to age, the rubber is going to dry up, it can crack and fail. So a timing belt will have an interval, timing chain not necessarily.
Oh, interesting. Texter says this, on our road trip, our 2010 Enclave hit a rough spot on the freeway and the traction control and stable track warning lights went off. We kept driving another hour, but when we exited, it seemed to struggle going up a slight incline. We shut the car off. After 10 minutes, restarted. Warning lights shut off. Mechanic checked it, but could not diagnose the exact problem. Do you have any ideas what could be happening there? Or what did happen?
So this will happen. It's, you know, no different than your computer at home. You know, you hit a rough spot, like they said, and something got kicked up into one of the sensors, or one of the readings was skewed. So the computer system didn't like what it saw. So as a default, it kind of shut everything off and turned the lights on. Those systems weren't operating, so the car drove a little bit differently. You shut the vehicle off. It sat for a few moments. You restarted. It reset itself. It did a self-test, which it does every time we start the vehicle. It sees everything that it likes. The lights stay off and the car runs fine. So it doesn't surprise me. You take it into that shop and they say, okay, well, we drove it, we tested it. We don't see anything because it was likely a one-time incident. If it continues to happen, as I always say, journal that. Give the information to the shop and try to duplicate the situation so they can see what's happening. But like I said, in this case, I suspect it was a one-time situation that you don't need to worry about.
Very good. Another text. I think we have time for one more, maybe two. We'll see. Texter says, hi, I just bought a 2022 Equinox, and my daughter bought a 2019 Honda minivan. Both have push-button starts. Now, are we supposed to put our foot on the brake when we turn off the vehicles also, or just to start? Getting mixed messages. Thank you.
It's a great question.
I think
you have to push the brake pedal, shut it off. You know, maybe not the worst practice because you're pulling into your parking spot, you're stopped, you put it into park, and the next natural thing you're going to do is shut the vehicle off. So it's probably more of a repetitive process that we've learned over years of driving. But I would say it's probably not necessary, but, you know, if it's been your practice, been doing it, why not?
It is an interesting question. Now I'm thinking about what I do, but I think, like you said, habit-wise, when you're pulling into a parking spot or the garage, whatever the case may be, your foot's already on the brake, generally speaking. So I may try that today, just doing a little of my ability to research that. We'll do that today when driving. One more question. I think we do have time. Somebody's anticipating all those cottonwoods, dropping all those cotton balls around. And how to safely clean my radiator. We get this from time to time.
We do, and it's a great question. And the first thing I'm going to say is do not use a pressure washer. That will tear through and create bigger problems that we don't need. A garden hose. Garden hose and kind of, you know, rinse it down. It's what we use, to be honest. Now, one thing I will say is that sometimes, depending on the amount of debris, we will kind of separate the cooling fan or the condenser to give ourselves a little more space. I don't expect a consumer to do that. I think if you can gain access to the front of that and hose it down, get a lot of that debris out of the way, it should be sufficient. If you need more help than that, you know, like I like to say, raise your hand and ask for help. I don't want to see somebody create a bigger problem. But yeah, no pressure washer, a garden hose, even with the spray nozzles, fine. And just kind of work your way top to bottom and kind of work all that cottonwood and debris top bottom. Hopefully it'll fall off the bottom of the car and you're have good airflow and you'll have a good running vehicle.
Yeah, no pressure washer, right? Yes, for sure. I know we have to head out of here. I'm looking at the final text. It was a comment. I've been to Lloyd's Automotive. Great place. Well, me too. I agree. And have to
Thank
be
you.
There again.
Thank
here
you. We appreciate that.
So. Yeah. Well, folks that haven't been there and maybe need some assistance, tell us how we can get there and how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. So if you have a question, we will always, always help. 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. You can find all that information and more at LloydsAutomotive.net.
What do you say we do this again next week?
That sounds like a date, Danny. Thank you.
Good deal. Thank you. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyds Automotive.